Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Big 12 Nation. We are live. Me and my man Rob.
Good morning.
And, it is here. We are here to talk a crazy day yesterday. Just a crazy day. Unbelievable how far behind we were with our pick. So, man, I don't care what game you want to jump into first.
Listen, man, I am nursing a little bit of a hangover this morning, but I am happy to be here. It was an exciting day yesterday, Big 12 football. I'm ready to go. Let's talk about TCU and Kansas yesterday. TCU came out and laid down the wood on the Jayhawks. They were up 38-0 at halftime, ended up with a final score 51-14. Our guy, Darius Anderson, the TCU running back, had 18 carries for 115 yards and a touchdown again. So he's just, you know, continuing the pace that he's been on all year. But for Kansas, man, it's one step forward and two steps back. We talked about last week how we just want to see them compete in the conference. And yesterday, they were non-competitive, is simply put. What do you think?
Kansas, I thought, I mean, they got 14 points there at the end, but
yeah.
I understand that they were trying to fight, something other than, how do I say this? They scored 14 points versus before they would just shut down and get blown out and get flatlined. So what I want to say to, you know, to Kansas fans is this, man, just hang in there. Just hang in there. But we all called it, you know. All three of us called it. And we said that, you know, pretty much Kansas would fight them hard, but TCU would be pissed because they lost to SMU. But look at SMU. They're 5-0. They were literally 5-0.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and doing stuff, you know, that they weren't doing.
I'm actually disappointed in myself, Corey. By the end of the week, I had talked myself into Kansas pulling the upset at TCU. I thought we'd seen, you know, a lot of steps forward for Kansas, a very competitive game against West Virginia, and then their big road win back at Boston College. So I thought we were seeing a different Jayhawk team so far this year. Turns out they're the same old KU football that we've, you know, seen forever. They're, you know, not at the bottom of the conference and really non-competitive, especially on the road. One thing I did want to mention was Kansas got some bad news yesterday right before the beginning of the game. Their starting running back, Khalil Herbert, decided to sit out of the game, and he's seeking a red shirt so that he can grad transfer and play somewhere else next year. So, I mean, that's not a good situation for KU. But real quickly on TCU, I know yesterday the result looked great for them in the product they put on the field. But I want to go back to the old saying, when you have two quarterbacks, you have zero quarterbacks. Right now, TCU is playing both of their guys, Matt Duggan as well as Alex Delton. I think that's ultimately going to be their downfall this year. You got two guys playing quarterback, which, you know, I just don't see how that works out for them. And when you're playing a better team than Kansas, I think that's going to be their demise.
Yeah. I mean, I think TCU will get a bowl game. We're shocked.
Yeah, I agree.
That they took that out. They did do what we didn't expect them to do. Kansas got clipped pretty good. So that's TCU flexing their muscles like Iowa State did the week before. But we'll see if that can keep up. Right now, go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
Oh, nothing, man. You brought up Iowa State. I have some harsh opinions for them.
Oh, okay. Right now I'm going to bring in our co-host Kylie to the show and get her thoughts on TCU and Kansas.
Kylie, what's up?
Hey, how are you doing, Rob? How are you doing, Corey?
Doing
good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. My thoughts on the game is I expected a little bit more from Kansas, but TCU came out and showed what they're not just going to get play a close game with Kansas. They're like, they're trying to prove something this year, I think. But as far as competing, yeah, Kansas, I was hoping they would do better, but I believe they play Oklahoma next week, so it's just going to get harder for them. So we'll see what's going to happen with that, but they need to figure something out if they want a chance in playing in this Big 12 conference this year.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Rob, you were saying something about Iowa State. I'm going to let you elaborate on it. I just thought from me watching it, I saw Matt Campbell get in a defensive backs SHIT for losing contain. But I honestly think, Rob, he should have gotten his SHIT – excuse me, he should have gotten Purdy's SHIT, I should say, for some of the goofy stuff he was doing. Like, some of the stuff he was doing wasn't that hard. It wasn't that sophisticated. Somebody who's watched football, played, or coasted, as myself, would just say, dog, you're just not hitting the open targets. You're doing a lot of unnecessary gains. I mean, there's so many replays. And even the commentators on the actual broadcast yesterday were saying, like, wow, the tide opens – the tight end's open right there. The receiver's open right there. There's nobody in the flat area, and he just didn't throw the ball. He's just looking downfield. So, in my opinion, before you get into the stats and all the stuff that you're good at, Rob, I just think Purdy just did some goofy things, and I think him doing the stuff he did in the first half really hurt Iowa State more than anything. And I think at that point, up until the second quarter, it was like nobody wanted to take control of the game. So, I mean, you can tell me what you saw from your eyes, but I saw – he bounced back in the second half, but, you know.
Yeah, the same thing. I mean, he led what could have been a game-winning drive in the fourth quarter. They put up 21 points in the fourth quarter. But, you know, Brock Purdy just doesn't look like a guy. He doesn't look like, you know, a standout football player on the field. He has a weak arm. You know, there's no velocity on the football when he throws it, which is really my biggest takeaway from watching him. I think he's a guy that is going to show off against Louisiana Monroe, probably Kansas, and those weaker teams. But I think he's a guy who gets exposed in these big games against a good defense like Baylor's. You know, the final numbers were pretty good for him. He went 27-45 for 342 yards, two touchdowns, which is almost identical to what Baylor's quarterback, Charlie Brewer, put up yesterday. But I mean, just based on the eye test, you can't tell me Brock Purdy's a good quarterback when you watch the guy play. I think he's honestly one of the weaker quarterbacks in the league. And for Iowa State, you know, a team that has pretty high hopes and expectations coming into a season like this, I don't think the quarterback play is there for them to elevate to the next level that they think they're capable of getting to. But for Baylor, you know, I've been a huge Baylor critic. I have to admit it.
Yeah, you've been a huge Baylor critic, but you've also gave them a lot of props too, though. You've also given them props too.
Well, you know what? I need to give them some more props because they shocked me yesterday, Corey and Kylie, to be honest with you. They absolutely shocked me with the way they played. They were physical. They punched Iowa State in the mouth from the get-go. And then to come back in the at the end of the game after you've given up 21 points in the fourth quarter, you have a true freshman kicker who has never kicked in a college game. Never attempted a kick, and the guy hits the game winner. I mean, that's pretty impressive. All the props in the world go to Baylor. Good for them. They're 4-0. They're 1-0 in the conference. And, you know, they have everything in front of them that they set out to do at the beginning of the year. So good for Baylor.
Kylie, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was disappointed in the way Iowa State was playing. I was rooting for them to come back, but I was also, like, when you're Baylor and you blow a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter, like, that's a little hard to take for Baylor fans. But, no, Brewer, he did what he was supposed to do. They finished it with that redshirt freshman, so I think they're going to have a little bit of work to do before they get into the rest of the Big 12 play, but as far as you can't, like, with the rest of the Big 12 play, you can't be blowing leads like that. That's not going to work. It worked against Iowa State, but against teams like Oklahoma, it's not going to happen. They have to figure out how to finish the game. without letting those comebacks happen.
Okay. Yeah, and I'll talk with somebody's echoing in the background, so I don't know if somebody's on speaker or they got the player in the background, so turn it down, whoever. But that's cool. What I'll say is this, guys, is I was impressed because, Rob, after I watched the first three quarters, you know how I am, Rob. I'm like, all right, I'm on to the next. You know how frustrated I get as a coach. I'm like, right. I changed. But what was cool is I switched it over, and then I came back, and I was just like, oh, they're up. Or, no, it was 14 to 20. I said, okay. I said, yeah, we'll see what happens. I switched it again, and then they was up by one point. I said, okay. So Iowa State ain't just going to flush down the toilet. I mean, we still – you know, we still have do not know who's number three. We know Texas and Oklahoma are one and two, but we still don't know who's number three. We don't know if it's Oklahoma State. We don't know if it's Iowa State. We don't know if it's Baylor. Like, that's going to take a long time. We know Kansas and Tech are going to battle it out for the bottom, but I just think we'll have to see. Even West Virginia, you don't know. They play lights out at home. Texas may be in trouble next week. So it's like we still don't know who number three is. So props to, I'll say this, guys, props to, you know, both of those teams yesterday because they played a game. I mean, when it first started, it was just like, wow, they're both really good on defense and they both play really hard and nobody wanted to take advantage. Purdy, with the turnover and some of the mistakes he made, got Baylor easy field position, but then he rebounded and he's still a younger quarterback, so let's just give a shout out to Baylor and Iowa State. They fought a good game, and it, to me, it looks better than a lot of the stuff I see around the other leagues because a lot of teams, they're just getting blown out. And I think pound for pound right now, Texas, you know, the Big 12 is probably the top Power 5 conference as far as not the best teams, but the best, like, competitive teams. Like, me and Rob won't talk about this, but there's some other conferences where people just get their ass whooped by the best team, no matter what, and then that's the
Ohio State looks like they're going to run through the Big Ten. They look like they're on a whole other level than the rest of that conference. But real quick, guys, I did want to talk about Charlie Brewer, the quarterback for Baylor. Super impressed with him yesterday. The guy has a long history of family heritage, athletic heritage in the state of Texas. His dad played at UT back in the day. His uncle played at UT. His brother's a tight end at Texas, and his other brother was a quarterback at Texas Tech and then Virginia. Really, really like what I saw out of Charlie Brewer, the quarterback for Baylor yesterday. He's a young kid from Lake Travis High School right here in Austin. I definitely expect to see big things coming from him in the next couple years.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I agree. He's definitely an athletic family. For him to not go to UT, I was kind of sad. But I'm glad I like to see him doing his thing at Baylor. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Brewer's got it. Now, what's the backstory on him again, guys? Was it Brett Favre's best friend? His uncle played Texas. Somebody played. It was something. I was kind of in it, but kind of out of it.
Yeah, I didn't see what the connection to Brett Favre was, but his family has a long history of excelling in athletics in the state of Texas. His dad went to UT, led the Longhorns to the Cotton Bowl back in 1982. His uncle played at UT at the same time, and he led his uncle was actually the last Longhorn quarterback to have a perfect collegiate record. He went 9-0.
Yeah.
So
I figured that out.
Comes from a good family.
Right. No, he's got
Baylor on the right track.
Right, right. No, that's my bad. I figured out what I was saying. The strength and conditioning coach at Baylor was in Brett Favre's wedding and was his best friend, and I believe he is a linebacker for either Baylor or Ohio or Iowa State. That's what it was. So the strength and conditioning coach for Baylor was like one of Brett Favre's best friends and in his wedding. And I forgot which one it was, but his son is a linebacker on either Baylor or Iowa State. I'll correct that on the page later.
Gotcha.
There was
one other big blowout win yesterday. Oklahoma absolutely rolled Texas Tech. The Jalen Hurts Heisman campaign guy.
All three of us called that.
Yeah. at it. Texas Tech on their backup quarterbacks, you know, they're just not built to go into Norman and compete with a team like the Sooners right now. I think so far this year, I mean, you have to say Oklahoma looks to be a cut above the rest of the conference. Oklahoma and Texas, that is. I think Texas has looked really, really solid so far. But, yeah, Oklahoma and Texas just look to be on a different level than most of the other teams so far. What did you guys see?
Honestly, it was a fun game to watch, honestly. I think that Jalen Hurts is doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's hitting it. He's hitting his passes. He's running. Really fun dude to watch. I'm a Longhorn fan, so I'm not the biggest fan of Oklahoma, but they really put on a show yesterday.
Yes, they did.
Lambs is doing his thing. He had 7 receptions for 3 touchdowns and 185 yards. So he's
a monster.
I love watching that guy play. Definitely going to the NFL. So
that's the scary thing about Oklahoma. They have those 2 explosive wide receivers, CeeDee Lamb and Charleston Rambo, both over 100 yards in the air yesterday. So that, you know, they can take the top off any defense in the country.
Oh yeah, definitely. I feel bad for Texas Tech. I love seeing Texas Tech do good, but right now they're just not ready to compete against Oklahoma or Texas. So we'll see what happens with them. Side note, I don't like their uniforms. I don't. They look like Nebraska.
You're not a fan.
Sorry, Rob. They look like Nebraska.
I think Texas Tech and TCU have the best uniforms in the conference.
I don't like it. It's weird. It's just not the whole black and red like the Raiders are known for. Side
yeah, that's true. Under Armour's always doing crazy stuff for them.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
Corey, what did you see in that game yesterday?
Rob, I'll be honest with you, I fell asleep, dog, about halfway through. Once I seen it was a track race, I said, damn, I'm ready to put on NBC Sports and look at the Olympic trials.
What's going on in the Olympic trials? I didn't catch that yesterday.
No, it wasn't the actual trials, but it was like the all the people. Because, you know, right here in Austin is where they had the actual national championships last year for the whole NCAA. So all the kids So all the kids that actually won, Rob, they are like competing pro. So they were doing their IAAF thing on NBC Sports, and then that would be the next step to the Olympic trials. So a lot of those kids, like, as we know, shout out to Big 12 Nation, Texas Tech won the whole national championship last year in track and field. So a bunch of their pros are out there running. And then there's the other kid from Florida who's an animal at hurdling. So just a bunch of good stuff.
Texas Tech football needs to sign up some of those guys.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. And some of those girls. Shoot.
Yeah, no kidding.
They got the jumps.
I just have one other note on Oklahoma. Yesterday we saw Spencer Rattler get in the game. He's a 5-star quarterback out of Arizona. I think this guy is the next big deal in college football. He's a freshman right now.
Where's he at?
I think the guy's he's at Oklahoma. He's backing up Jalen Hurts. I think this guy is going to light the country on fire next year when he gets into play. Spencer Rattler, remember that
year
name?
What year is he, Rob? I didn't
he's
hear
a
that.
Freshman.
I'm sorry, Rob. A true or redshirt?
Yeah, he's a true freshman. He hasn't appeared in. So they might use that 4-game rule to let him redshirt this year. You know how you can play in up to 4 games, but nothing more than that, and still take a redshirt. So I think they might do that with him. But, yeah, I'm telling you, I think this kid is the next big deal.
Okie doke. Well, let's get to the one that only Kylie got right yesterday, and that's Oklahoma State playing their ass off at home. And how about Chuba Hubbard? He's just putting Barry Sanders on these motherfuckers, ain't he? I mean, he ain't no joke.
No, yeah. He's the best running back in the country, Kylie, Corey. You guys both know that from watching enough Big 12 football at this point. Yesterday, the guy had 25 carries for 296 yards. That was 25 carries for 296 yards. That's an average of 11.8 yards per carry. The guy's an absolute monster. The Hubbard for Heisman talk is definitely getting going on the internet, and I would like to see some more of it because the guy's explosive.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's just amazing stats right there. I knew Oklahoma State was going to come out and win. Sorry, Kansas State's not going to be ranked after this week, I don't believe. Also, Sanders had two interceptions yesterday. So, I'm like, I know he's a freshman, but I'm like, I'm trying to – he had an interception against Texas as well.
Right.
And he has to learn a little bit. Those interceptions are going to start costing him if he doesn't watch it. But, no.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
It's an amazing game.
And unfortunately, you know, I think that's Oklahoma State's – I think that's their Achilles heel is going to be their quarterback play this year. I really, really like Spencer Sanders. He's a redshirt freshman, I believe. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
big things coming in the future for him. But I just don't think is the year that he's able to carry a football team, you know, to the highest level of the conference.
Yeah, I think they're going to put up a good fight. Honestly, in my opinion, I think Oklahoma State will be number three. But because of being a freshman, Sanders, I don't think they're going to get to the championship unless –
Right.
Somehow, Suzanne Oklahoma lose a couple of games, which I don't see happening.
So you think Oklahoma State's better than Baylor?
I do. I think so. As far as overall, I think if when they play, it's going to be a really close game. But I think Oklahoma State's really going to come out with that one. So.
Corey, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh no. That's about it, man. It just, you know, yesterday was just like I was shocked about the way TCU came out. I think the Baylor versus Iowa State game lived up to what we thought it was. Oklahoma State, I thought Kansas State was a little better than we originally predicted them. But I mean, props to Oklahoma State. And Oklahoma State, as we said, is hard to beat at home. So it's
right.
nothing really
no doubt about it.
Too shocking. And, you know, Kansas upsetting, but I think they're fine. Everybody else, like we said in the beginning, Rob, is in position for that third place in the Big 12. We just got to sit back and watch this thing play out, man.
Right. And I think Oklahoma State's defense is better than we've been giving them credit for all year. They held Kansas State's quarterback, Skylar Thompson, he went 11 of 23 passing for 118 yards, no touchdown. So he was absolutely shut down from the get-go yesterday. They could never get their offense in sync.
Yeah, so, I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's really about it, man. It was a short week. Two people had bye weeks, so it was only four games. And we called it. I was trying to add up our picks here, but I guess I'll have that in a couple weeks. If anybody out there listening – we won't go live next week, but the following week we'll be back for the Red River rivalry, and that should be action-packed. Other than that, it'll be what'd you say?
I was cheering. It was exciting.
I think I'm going to be heading up to Dallas for that.
Are you, Rob? Let me know so I could talk to you about that. Let me know if you're heading up there for that. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, man, I really want to get
I
up
might
to that
there
game
too.
And yeah, that would be awesome. Connect with a lot of Big 12 Nation. Connect with some of the fans out there, tailgating, you know, anything like that.
Not only that, you got to remember, that's the Texas State Fair. Now be careful, Rob. I know you're a man in a relationship and you're a good person, but it's some things going on at Texas State Fair that might make your eyes go left and right, and you say, all right, I ain't in Nebraska no more. Let me stay out of trouble. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So just be cool. If I ever go up there, I make sure I take my wife with me because, you know, Texas, is especially Austin, but Dallas too, but Texas in general, they pull them from all different types. So you gotta be on your P's and Q's out there, bad boy. So
we do it big in Texas. So
everything big. Different types, everything. So let me get back to the subject. Let me stay off of that mess. So, guys, I'm going to go around, and Kylie can probably talk to this since she's lived here her whole life. You know, me and Rob, we came here. We've come a part of Big 12 Nation. But something that's been getting on my nerves lately, guys, is I listen to the local sports radio here in Austin, and I hear the stuff they say. And a lot of people hate on Kevin Sumlin, and they say some stuff about Texas A&M, and they make them think that they're bigger than they are. And y'all can correct me wrong, but in my opinion, guys, Texas A&M is an 8 or a 9-win team at best every year. In the SEC. they talked all this trash about Jimbo Fisher, gave him $70 million. Let's just get to the facts. And most sports commentators from ESPN, Scott Van Pelt, even people who don't like ESPN, actually agree with this argument. People from opposite sides of the spectrum all agree with this when they fired Sumlin, like they could do so much better. And then they're still getting their ass kicked by Auburn at home. But one thing about Sumlin, he went on the road and whooped Auburn. He went on the road and beat Alabama, one of only five coaches to beat Saban in the last decade. And to me, the way they played Arkansas close yesterday, it was just kind of like – and Arkansas is absolutely horrendous, and I'll get into that right after this. But to me, I just feel like Texas A&M is an 8 or 9-win team, and every once in a while, like Sumlin did when he had Johnny Manziel in Swoops, they are a 10-11-win team that can win games
right.
that people don't expect. But all of this stuff, like you're paying $70 million and Paul Feinbaum talking to trash. Jimbo Fisher, a way better coach than, Dabo Swinney. It's like, man, get the F out of here. Like, you must be out your mind. Jimbo Fisher left the ACC because Dabo Swinney was jumping on his ass. So it ain't make no sense to me. And he tried to go to the SEC and still having problems.
Sounds like clickbait.
Getting whooped by Auburn. Getting monkey slapped by these other teams that you like, whoa. So that's all I want to say is Texas A&M, they got money, but they're a 8-9-win program, 10-11 every so many years. But for them to make
right.
this whole big deal and now the commentator on 104.9 the Horn was talking to them, well, we need to find our identity. Ain't no identity. That's who y'all are. You're 8-9-win team
yeah.
every once in a while, 10-11.
Yeah,
they've done
that.
There's no, like, fixing that. That's just – it's a matter of recruiting for them, and then when you're in the conference that they are, it's hard to get the best players when you're competing against Alabama like that. I completely agree with that. They're just going to have
to find
a better way to recruit.
For all those fans that expect them to win 10, 11 games, like you just said, Corey, you need to accept the fact that you had a generational quarterback, Johnny Manziel, in the years that happened. That's not going to happen again. Maybe you do luck into getting a guy, you know, like that can absolutely change your program. But that's not going to be every year. That's not going to be every quarterback. And they just need to accept that.
And
yeah.
Kylie
Kylie
can attest to this. One of the reasons Mac Brown was let go is because Johnny Manziel, guys, actually always wanted to go to Texas. But Mac Brown looked at him like, nah, he ain't got this size. He ain't got that. So he was like, all right, F it. I'll go to A&M.
He offered him as a safety, didn't he?
Yeah.
Kyle,
well,
you can elaborate on
that. Is that right?
I don't blame Mac for not wanting Johnny Manziel. I was never the biggest fan of Johnny football at all. He had some talent, but I think one of the main reasons Mac Brown didn't want him is because of his actions outside of the field. Just not the kind of guy that Texas wanted as a quarterback. I know we've had our issues with players in the past, but he just doesn't represent Texas and what we are.
Yeah, that's fair. And Texas definitely has their guy now,
right.
Sam Ellinger, born and raised there in Austin. You know, the face of the program.
Right. No, Kylie, I'm not saying that he represented Texas. I'm saying that's probably one of the reasons they gave Mac Brown such a hard time is because he didn't recruit him and then looked and turned out to be while Texas was declining.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, and I can see that, especially after what he did at A&M, but to me, I don't, like, when I was hearing all of that talk about that's why they let Mac Brown go and stuff, or that was one of the reasons, I was mad. I was like, really, you're going to fire Mac, a legendary coach like that, over a dude like Manziel?
No, I definitely thought it was stupid. I definitely thought it was stupid the way they fired Mac Brown, and I think it wasn't smart for Charlie Strong to take the job, being the success he had at Louisville, because it's like, dude, you're replacing a legend. So if you don't have them skyrocketing in 2 years, they're going to fire you, and that's what happened. So I definitely agree with you on that. They shouldn't have let Mac Brown go the way they did, because before Mac Brown got there, they hadn't done nothing since Coach Royal left. So it was kind of embarrassing that they did that. And, you know, Ricky Williams said Cedric Benson, rest his peace. I mean, rest in peace, God rest his soul. Like, it's so many things that Mac Brown did.
Oh, yeah, like he was, what was he, like 10-1 consistently for like how many years? But, yeah, no, I didn't agree with that. But as far as A&M finding their identity, like, they have to know that quarterbacks like that don't come around all the time. Like, you saw the slump that Texas went through when we lost Colt McCoy. We struggled, and now we got Sam, thank goodness. But you can't just have an all-star quarterback like that all the time, and for them, that's what it's going to take. So they just got to find
it. And what do you think about – And what do you think about them firing Sumlin, Kylie, and then you to Rob to finish this segment?
I think A&M is getting desperate. I think they're trying. They see Alabama doing what they're doing consistently every year. And, I mean, their record for 8-9 wins every season, like, that's not bad in a conference against Alabama,
no.
You know?
Right.
So – to fire someone, I was like, okay, you know, I guess you do what you got to do, but I don't.
Right. What are you going to do when you get the same result?
I don't see much of a difference happening. I mean, Fish is a good coach, but
right.
It comes down to recruiting, I think. So we'll see. We'll see.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why they got rid of Sumlin. I really like his ability to bring quarterbacks into the program. Just look at some of the guys that were at Texas A&M. Kyler Murray, Johnny Manziel, Kyle Allen is going to start for the Carolina Panthers today. But, you know, he took the program to new heights that they had not seen before. So I'm not
sure
where they thought they could go from there. You know, you're Texas A&M, you're not Alabama. You're not Georgia.
Exactly.
You're not LSU. You're in the next tier,
exactly.
But you're not those programs, and you need to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And every. Go ahead, Kylie.
Yeah. No. Just repeating what I said. Like, I just think that they're desperate and they're trying to, because it is hard to recruit when you're in that conference. So they're just trying to do everything they can to get on that top level and. So.
Right. In 4 or 5 years, guys. Like I said, every 4 or 5 years. If you get 10 or 11 wins, that's pretty good for there. But like Rob said, I mean, you got pretty much Big 12 Nation quarterbacks, some of them recruited. Kyler Murray destroyed it last year at Oklahoma. Kenny Trill
yep.
Hill killed it at TCU. There's so many guys who were there. It was one more guy. I can't think of his name. I want to say
Kyle Allen,
like
the guy who's starting for the Panthers today.
Mm-hmm. Kyle Allen, and it's just like, okay, y'all want to fire this dude who came from Oklahoma with Bob Stoops and won national champions, then took Houston
right.
at levels, and then took A&M levels. All right, well, he'll be out in the desert. That's why I thought it was funny, guys, when local radio was listening, saying, oh, yeah, Texas Tech wins in Arizona. I'm like, y'all don't know football like that, because ain't no way in hell Texas Tech coming into Arizona and jumping on their ass. This is not happening.
Especially
now
that Kevin Sumlin has the quarterback that he has. You know, he's a quarterback coach, quarterback-driven offense.
Yeah, I don't know what they sell in the streets here in Austin, but, I mean, that wasn't happening. So, but, all right, guys.
Can I just make
a
shout-out really quick before we cut off? Mac Brown, I don't know why. I don't know if y'all saw the Clemson game yesterday. I don't know why he didn't go for the tie. He tried to win it.
Oh,
no,
that was a good point. Kylie, great point. I meant to say that when we were talking about Mac Brown in the first place. Even though he is gone, look at what he's done with North Carolina in just 1 year, Kylie. They were shitty. Use my language, but now look at him.
He's a winner.
They almost beat Clemson, and they should have, but they should have gone for the dang goal.
Go for the win, Kylie, because you know what? Your heart is going to be broke more if you go into overtime and lose a Clemson at home. I agree with him because it's just like I just want to steal a win rather than fight for one. But I
right.
see your point too, Kylie. Just go for the field goal and see what happens in overtime.
Well, yeah, it's just because, like, I feel like if they did get the tie, like, they had momentum and, like, they could have finished it. Like, they were playing so close. I was like, at least give yourself that chance. But I get it. I get it. I understand Mac Brown's thinking. Trust me, I grew up with his coaching, so I understand. But at the same time, I was like, I wanted him to beat Clemson.
Right. Then we see what Paul Feinbaum was
putting in. They look down this year. For all the talent that they have not lived up to expectations so far.
You know what, Rob? I honestly think they was just cruising into that game and they was overlooking it. They was chilling because the week before they put so much into Syracuse. You guys got to remember, the last 2 years, even though they went to the national championship and won one, Syracuse has kicked their ass. two time zone.
Yep.
So I think they exhausted that energy trying to beat Syracuse because Dino Babers has done one hell of a job turning that
one
program around that
country.
Way. Exactly. Exactly. So that was a good round, guys. That was a good round. We went around the country. We said our thoughts. I love Rob, so I'm not going to say anything about Nebraska, but I do want him to take me to Lincoln one day because of all these consecutive sellouts. I want to see this tailgating that everybody talks about. Gabrielle Union was on stage with D. Wade and all that. So one of these days, I want him to take me to Lincoln. Kylie's going to have to take me to UT and tailgate, but I don't know if I want to actually go to the tailgate. But your boy Del Conte has done a good job at Texas by hyping it up. But, yeah, that was a good session, guys. So let's hop into this before they kick us off this line and we hear that lady, that British lady kick us off. So let's go. Oklahoma versus Kansas. Kansas at home. I think they're going to play hard, Rob. I think they're going to still they're going to score three touchdowns, Kylie. So I'm going to give Oklahoma 56, and I'm going to give Kansas 21. It'll be close for, like, the first 10 minutes, and then – because Oklahoma will be, like, kind of sluggish coming out because it's not that much to get up about the game. And they'll beat Kansas' ass, but it'll just be – Kansas, I think, will live up to better expectations. And we can do it like we always do. We can go Kylie second and then Rob third. And, by the way, Kylie, I think you're kicking all our asses when it comes to picks. I haven't added them up.
Sure.
Me and Rob and I are happy about that. But I'll add up our picks over the week. But go ahead. Did I say a score, guys? I can't remember.
Said what?
Did I say a score, guys? I can't remember. Did I say what the final score was?
Oh, yes,
or no?
You said 21.
Okay, all right, thanks. All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, I think Oklahoma's going to murder Kansas. I don't think Kansas is going to score. They might get a field goal, so I'm going to give them that. I'm going to say 56-3.
Guys, we're all on 56. I've also got the Sooners big. I've got them 56-14.
Sorry, Kansas.
Wow. So no luck from Kylie on the sports book this week, I guess, huh, Rob?
No, I guess not. Yeah, I'm curious to see what that line's going to be. I imagine Oklahoma would be favored by 30 points on the road at Kansas. So,
I was hoping she was staying.
I think they're the most explosive offense in the country, and they're going to go to Lawrence and put on a show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was hoping
Kylie
would say Kansas. Go ahead. What'd you say, Kylie?
It's going to be bad. I wanted to pull for Kansas. I mean, I could sit here and be like, yeah, Kansas is going to, you know, put up a chance.
Well, I was hoping you'd say Kansas. I was hoping you'd say Kansas because I was about to go put $100 on it and tell Rob just put $100 on it, too. We'll pay him.
Watch them win now. That would be funny.
Yeah. So, all right, guys. Texas Tech versus Oklahoma State. Ooh, Texas Tech's at home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Texas Tech plays their best game of the year because they're at home. Matt Wells is a good coach, quality coach. So, damn it, guys, I am going to go Oklahoma State 42 and Texas Tech 38.
I'm going to say that Texas Tech is mad from this Saturday. They're figuring themselves out. They're going to come out. I think it's going to be a close game. I'm going to say, but I still pick Oklahoma State. I'm going to say Oklahoma State 34, Texas Tech 28.
Okay, so I think going out to Lubbock in West Texas, it's kind of a twilight zone, weird feeling. It's an 11 a.m. game. I think Oklahoma State's kind of going to be looking past.
My God, the most boring drive of my life.
Right. And I think Oklahoma State is going to be looking past Texas Tech. I think Texas Tech pulls the upset, guys, and I don't really know why. I just think Texas Tech pulls the upset. I'm taking the Red Raiders 34-31.
Cool.
I'm gonna agree with that. I'm gonna change my pick back. I'm gonna take Texas Tech over Oklahoma State. Same score, 34 Texas Tech, Oklahoma State 28.
Are you freaking kidding me, Kylie? I already put my damn money on the sports book. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm sorry.
All right, TCU at Iowa State, guys. We got about 5 minutes left before we get kicked. We can knock these out, though. TCU at Iowa State. Iowa State is pissed off. They win by a field goal, but they're going to play better at home. They're going to beat TCU. Shit, guys, I don't know. They're going to beat TCU 27-24.
I'm taking TCU in this one. I say TCU at 28, Iowa State at 21.
Yeah, I'm also going to take TCU. I'm also going to take TCU. I don't like what I've seen out of Iowa State so far this year. I'm going to take TCU to win 31-30. Close game, in it till the end. I think TCU pulls it out.
Damn it, Rob. Are you telling me you're picking this because of the way that TCU kicked Purdue's ass on the road? Now, don't switch it up on me now. Come on, Mr. Ramsey.
So I kind of like what I've seen out of TCU. I was shocked when they got beat by SMU. I think that SMU team is better than everybody else realizes. I'm telling you, yesterday was the first time I've sat down and watched Iowa State play from start to finish. I watched every play yesterday, and I'm just not impressed with Brock Purdy. I already hit on that. I don't want to come back and just roast that guy anymore, but I don't think he's a good quarterback, so I'm having trouble picking a team when I don't like the quarterback situation.
All right.
Yeah.
And Kylie Galvez's Texas Longhorns travel to Morgantown, hilly, beautiful mountain air, West Virginia. I'm going to go West Virginia, 41, Texas, 19. No, I'm playing. I'm going to go. I'm going to go. Let's see what's hot. I'm going to go Texas, 31, West Virginia, 21, something like that.
Yeah, that's I'm mad. Anyway,
closer than the experts think.
I know. I am gonna pick. This is a hard one. I'm kidding. It's not. But Texas, I think we're gonna blow them out of the water. I know it's West Virginia, and it's hard to play at their home field, and they always come out swinging against Texas for some reason. But I'm gonna say 48 Texas to West Virginia's 27.
Got it. Yeah, guys, I think Texas comes out and lays down the hammer on West Virginia. If you remember last year, Will Grier led that comeback in Austin, where the Mountaineers upset UT. So I think Texas has a little bit of a revenge game vibe going up to Morgantown this weekend. I think Texas has a super explosive offense. I don't think West Virginia is great. So I'm taking Texas big, 49-14.
Yeah, I think Texas is playing with a chip on their shoulder right now because I feel like everyone doesn't quite believe in Texas yet.
I'm going back. Okay, I'm going back all 4 weeks after this episode, and I'm listening. I'm writing all our picks down, and we will see after next week or when we come back on the 12th. Last one, guys, before we get kicked off of here, Kansas State of Baylor. Good job, Matt Rhule. You're doing a good job with Baylor. You know, you were in Philly. You're from New York. I'm originally from Philly. You did your thing at Temple. They've been talking about the Philly play all week on all the college football shows. But here's what you got to realize. When you go into the country or to the heartland, you got to deal with a guy named Chris Klieman who's used to that part of the country. Kansas State is not taking no shorts. They play their best game of the year, and they beat Baylor by 3 at home. 20-17, Kansas State.
I'm going to have to pick Baylor in this one. I think Baylor's hungry. I think Baylor's hungry. And I think Kansas State, I think it's going to be a close game, honestly. I am going to say 32-28, Baylor.
Yeah, I agree with what you said, Corey. I think Kansas State comes out and plays their best game of the year. They had a real letdown yesterday against Oklahoma State. Baylor's riding high. They're 4-0, 1-0 in the conference. But they're on the road in the Little Apple in Manhattan. I'm taking K-State 21-16 over Baylor.
Yeah. So, and it's scary with this game. Go ahead, Kyla.
No, then we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen.
Oh, here you go.
But I've been picking against Baylor all year, and I've been wrong about them the entire time.
Well, so you
can. Right.
I don't think this is the week that they're gonna start to. I start to lose. I think they're going to keep going. I think they're going to win.
We will see. A lot of people have said this, though, Rob and Kylie. They said they are worried about the week in November that Texas has to play Baylor. They're saying that might be your shock value. So we'll see.
I am not even worried. No offense to Baylor,
I'm just saying.
We've got to get Big 12 Nation at that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best –